first time in a long time. But it seems like just yesterday, when we were side by side. Beast mode, no one's blocking our way. These other guys tried it, but them man ain't got the skills of Braden and Davey, brazen and raging, bringing you the thrills and spills. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, BVP, the BV elite. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, BVP, the BV elite.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for BDE Elite. We are live on Twitch.tv/upnextpodcast.
Hello, Twitch room.
Hello. How are we doing? It's brunch with the BDE. We're hanging out.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
It's been nice the last couple of weeks recording the next day. Mm-hmm. Kind of getting to enjoy Dynamite a bit more. Not so much frantically taking notes, I'm finding, and getting to soak it in a bit more. It's been good.
You're just not taking notes.
I've got a lot less notes than I'd normally
tell me
take.
What happened.
I'm trying to like just
tell me everything that happened right now.
The thing is, sometimes like with this show, it's so like fast paced. I find I'm spending all my time writing and not necessarily actually watching what's going on. So I'm trying now to be like, all right, I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put like two thoughts on each thing.
Right,
because there's a lot. Especially on this show, they crammed a lot into this one.
Yeah, I'd recommend anyone going to, obviously, postwrestling.com. But John Cena, who hosts Shot in the Dark on this show, covering all the other wrestling, Dark, Elevation, Impact, all that stuff, he also writes reports. So if you don't watch or you miss something or anything like that, you can go to that report and read all the stuff about it and his 2 cents on it as well. But shout out John Cena.
Absolutely.
For taking all the notes. He's always messaging us like, oh, taking notes. Yeah.
Dynamite's hard. Yeah. Like, I know when I had B Detroit on the show, filling in for you 1 week, I think when you were stuck in Mexico.
Yeah.
He was like, wow, I am exhausted. Like, this show is crazy.
It's and especially like the second hour.
I think
hour.
This was an all-time. Like, that. Yeah. This second hour might be an all-timer with the amount they've, like, crammed in. And even had Tony doing the old, like, we gotta go.
We got our time.
We're out of here.
Yeah. It was a pretty, like, crazy packed, paced show from Dynamite this weekend. We're on this road to Double or Nothing next weekend, so that's I'm pretty excited about this pay-per-view. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I think AEW's been on this pretty good run for the past, just this year.
Absolutely.
Really, just actually getting me hyped their shows.
I think it's, we've got, we're going to Dynamite soon, in a couple of weeks, and I would say just like, every week, this is what's exciting about AEW, I find. It's you're going to get a quality show. Like, there might be some rubbish on there as well, but you're going to get at least one awesome match on Dynamite every week. I can't say, like, you're going to be going out of your way to go to a Raw or a SmackDown. Like, WWE pay-per-views tend to be pretty good, but I think AEW, you could literally go to any show and be like, not have to worry about, is it going to be a good one or not? Because it always delivers.
I think so. I mean, we've been to a Dynamite show here or there and stuff like that, and we've been like, oh, that was something different. That feels like, oh, they put, you get your money's worth.
Yeah.
You feel, you know, if you go to Raw, come into your town, you know, you might get a bonus match of Cody versus Seth fight for 5 minutes after the fact. And it's like, okay, well, like, could it, watch the WrestleMania match back instead of spending all this money to go to a show to see, you know, the characters come out. I feel like Raw and WWE, it's become this machine that is like, hey, you're paying to see these stars live in person. Whether they do anything that actually matters is
absolutely.
Not really
100%.
Like, our problem. And then like the pay-per-views seem like they deliver. Sure, the premium live events, they've been on quite a nice run. At least that's what you've been saying. And I've watched some and like I've enjoyed it. Nothing that's blown me away, but still like I feel like, oh, you got to see these people. Whereas if you go to one of these AEW shows, everyone just seems like into it. The crowd seems super loud and just like into everything. They're to support. They got the crowd signs.
You know you're getting finishes.
Yeah.
In matches. Like, I think that's why, that's the main thing why I like the WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It's like, at least they're giving me a finish here. Whereas Raw, what, there was another 2 DQs this week, probably?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's always, like, things in AEW that they do as well. But still, like, they put on a pretty good show, and just watching it every week is fun to be a wrestling fan. It's definitely why I'm so back sucked into wrestling, definitely because of shows like this. Of course, there's going to be stuff on the show that makes you groan or roll your eyes and stuff, but like overall, I'm heavily entertained every Wednesday night. I know that we'll jump into some Dynamite, but I mean, we talked about on Up Next from this week for NXT. They got their, not Spring Break, they already did Spring Break.
In Your House.
In Your House, that's coming up. So that should be all right. But the main event for that looks so lackluster. The angles there are looking terrible. I think the real other big show, obviously Double or Nothing, but we got the Ric Flair match.
Yeah.
And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat said, uh-uh.
So who's it going to be?
I mean, it can't be Sting, right?
Well, I mean, not after this week.
No. Sting would show up, Ric
Maybe
Flair.
That's the thing. Like, we find out, we see a little, like, recording backstage with Sting with the Undisputed Elite being like, look, Rick's going to be calling me up soon. Can you just, like, let's take my ankle out. Let's write me off TV for a couple of weeks.
I just think, I don't know what Ric Flair is thinking. Like, it's just going to be a train wreck now. Like, not now. It's just going to be. You had the perfect send-off into the sunset in 2008 with Shawn. And you tarnished that. And then now you're asking for this. Oh, I need a great retirement. Yeah, we gave it to you. A few times. And now you're kind of canceled. And a lot of people don't really like you right now.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I would say, like, with, like, North American wrestling, there's that idea of you want someone to retire on a high, right? And I think Shawn, like, let's ignore the Saudi show, but Shawn kind of retired on a high. Rick in WWE retired on a high. I think Undertaker, that was a big thing why he kept on coming back for WrestleMania, was he didn't get that big last match. But it's interesting because in Japan, you see, like, these great, wrestlers who had like IWGP world title runs and all that, and then they go into like the granddad territory where they just work like when in their 60s in six mans and things like that, and it's kind of accepted there.
But it
is weird in North America when you do it, because there is that thing. It's like how people are like, ah, oh, why are you making a sequel to this movie? Why are you tarnishing it? Why are you doing Toy Story 4? And then sometimes a Toy Story 4 works out.
And then they make Dumb and Dumber 2, and then you're like, Jim, why did you need to do that? You really didn't need to do that. No one liked it. So, like, stop. But someone out there is like, oh, I'm just dying for Ric Flair to wrestle again.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see it. We'll watch it.
Like, it's definitely sounding something like a train wreck, and I don't – the interest – there's – yeah, it's like I'm not going to lie and say I'm not interested, but it's definitely like, why are you doing this? Like,
so what? It's going to be Ric Flair and FTR versus Rock and Roll Express and –
Sting.
Johnny Nitro? Johnny Elite?
That's the thing. Like, is Jay Lethal going to be in this match? Because he's the one, like, training with Rick and stuff like that. It's just like, whatever. I mean, they should have put it on the Authors of Pain show.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that stuff? What, yeah, Alistair Overeem's going to fight?
This is... Wrestle? I'm actually quite intrigued by this, because it looks like a very anti-indie show. Not to the extent of Control Your Narrative, where you're going, oh, we're not doing super kicks and all that bullshit. Yeah. But I don't know. It's all these stars. What is it? Like Braun Strowman, Nia Jax, Lana, Authors of Pain. It's all these people who were quite big stars in WWE, but very much sports entertainment. Like these guys would fit into Jericho's group.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, there might be a chip on some of these guys' shoulders trying to prove that they can actually do more than the poor work they put out in WWE. I don't know how they're gonna, what is it, 7,000 seat arena? I don't know how they're expecting to fill this thing. And it's only, what, it's next month, isn't it? It's like really short notice as well.
Is it not the same day as In Your House? I think it might be.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Which is crazy. So this is over in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, smart. WWE is only going to that big castle show thing now.
Yeah.
Which have pissed people off, apparently, with the prices and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, good for them to kind of...
Oh, the prices are ridiculous. Yeah. It's, like, more than Mania.
For a house show.
Well, it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah. But, like, you think they're going to treat it like a WrestleMania?
I think I think we've seen from the Saudi shows, they've started treating them a bit more like pay-per-views. Right, I think this will be more than we got with the Melbourne show and that kind of thing.
Right.
I think they're going to treat it as a big deal.
Well, I mean, this one, I don't know if it is that thing, but I mean, yeah, you've mentioned...
Is it Nottingham, I think?
Well, you got Braun Strowman versus Alistair Overeem, which if you're not a fighting fan, you might not even know who Alistair Overeem is. I mean, he's a fighter who's like, he's fought, what, Brock Lesnar? And when he...
I know the name, yeah.
He's shit on wrestling a lot before. He's called it all sorts of names. And here he is, oh, I can make money doing this? Okay, cool, I'll do it. It's like, all right. Cool. Yeah, your way. I'm not interested in that whatsoever. Braun Strowman can go kick rocks for all I care. Like the whole control your narrative stuff.
Yeah.
Like get out of here, buddy. No one cares.
So Authors of Pain versus Blake and Macklin, the former Forgotten Sons.
I mean, that's a dream match.
You know what? Steve Macklin has been putting on some really good stuff.
Steve Macklin, in
Impact. He's been pretty good.
He was, sorry, who are these guys?
So you had Blake from Blake and Murphy. Murphy's old tag partner.
Right.
With Steve Macklin, who was with him in Forgotten Sons with the fucking racist dude.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's still spouting off shit.
Yeah.
He just did today.
Oh, really?
Something on this show, actually.
Right, sucks. I don't know. I've got a weird curiosity about this. Killer Cross versus, Kalisto, Samurai Del Sol, and Jonah.
In a triple threat. Yeah, definitely the more interesting
That sounds interesting.
Match. Yeah.
Mojo Rawley returning. Against Lindsay Dorado?
I don't know.
This sounds weird, this show, but I am kind of curious.
What about the women's title match?
Finally, the blow-off. She put her through a table 9 weeks in a row, and then they never had their match?
Right.
Finally. Good.
Nia Jax.
This company's already doing something right.
Nia Jax versus Lana.
But I did listen to Authors of Pain, sorry, Legion of Pain, on Renee's podcast. And, I don't know where they've found the money for this, but they were talking about, all these businesses they wanted to do.
Right.
And they were talking about how they're, creating something in the metaverse and they're wrestling there. They've got, an NFT thing going on. They're doing all this, 2022 shit right now.
Okay.
And they're trying to show, I don't know, good luck to them.
Hey, no, 100%. You want to support any other wrestling that's... going on, obviously, and I mean, we're wrestling fans, but I personally will not be paying to watch Nia Jax or Braun Strowman wrestle.
Oh, I can't say I'll be paying for this, no.
I'm not saying I judge you for spending money to watch this, but I definitely make a chuckle or a joke or two.
On the pre-show, you got Mike Bennett versus Biff Busick.
Fuck yeah. That's free. That's great.
Watch that bit.
Look, I'm super happy to see all these other talents go other places. Mm. That's what's needed. That we knew, when WWE started hoarding all this talent a few years ago, pre-pandemic, we were all like, yo, this bubble's got to burst eventually. They're just hiring people to hire people at this point. So now all these characters they kind of gave up on. I mean, all these people are ex-WWE, ex-NXT.
They were pretty big deals in WWE at some point. Not that they were favorites of ours, but they were stars there. You know, Braun, Nia, Lana.
It's the Castaway show.
It is.
Misfit Toys.
It's kind of interesting. It really feels like the anti-indie show. You have all the people that get released and you're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the handcuffs off. I can't say I feel that way about any of these people, but maybe they'll surprise.
Lana
with the cuffs off might just be fucking insane.
Lana hitting fucking roundhouse kicks, Canadian destroyers.
Yeah, going through tables.
Nia Jax is going to do a 450 splash.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I'm excited about this
show. Let's review this show.
Can't wait.
But 7,000, that's ambitious.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Another thing I saw was, I don't know if this was being the Elite, BTE, where the Young Bucks were taunting and teasing Vikingo. That we've talked about from Triple Mania. And something tells me that they're going to talk to TK. The Bucks are probably talking to TK about getting a quick visa for Mr. El Vikingo. Mm. Because I think that guy will be showing up in AEW pretty soon. But they also teased that Kenny is going to come back and take the AAA mega title from him. So I thought that was pretty odd.
Okay.
So Kenny's probably, heating up somewhere, getting ready. In the pitcher's pen there,
interesting.
Coming back with that Forbidden Door show, I'm imagining he's maybe going to be involved. He could show up at the pay-per-view for Double or Nothing as well.
I mean, maybe that's something, that AAA title, maybe that's something they want to do in on an AEW show. If Kenny's right. suddenly like ready to come back, but you don't necessarily have a program for him right away, you could just throw that on the
yeah.
card.
Yeah.
If AAA are cool with it.
No, I would just, I'd like to see that guy tangle it up. I watched some of that AAA show and I was like, man, Vikingo, every time we watch him, he's just insane. So I would love to see, and he's super young. And then you downloaded him in 2K.
Got him on the game, yeah.
And he looked just like him, actually. It was pretty crazy. Some of the creations in these games are just absolutely nuts.
Because we keep mixing it. We're very new to 2K22. There's yeah. so many characters. You're like, wait, is he in the game or is he not?
I was playing as Samoa
like
Joe.
Keith Lee and like, Samoa Joe, know. Like, they've been gone for a while and it's just
they
like,
in this
oh,
game?
Are they actually in this?
And then I'm playing as like Hangman. It's like, okay, someone created this, obviously. Yeah, okay, cool. And then another thing, of course, there's all this talk and rumors about All Out, and they haven't announced where it is. I'm imagining at Double or Nothing, we get the final first advertisement here. I mean, announcing hopefully where this thing is. Again, here in Toronto, we're just dying for some sort of AEW show to come here. It would make total sense if they could do it here, but I don't know if that's the plan, so to speak. But, I mean, they somewhat announced Grand Slam in September from New York. So any people who are like, oh, I might want to go to that, get ready for the announcements for that as well. Because traveling for a lot of these shows is finally, like, it's back. You can
it's
go
back.
To these things. I mean, we're going to a Dynamite in June. We've got
two coming up.
You're going to Rochester.
Going to Rochester.
So
got all front row.
Just ridiculous. So, I mean, there's going to be all sorts of shows. And I think Toronto's just starving for it here. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Scotiabank maybe isn't allowed, ACC here isn't allowed to work with AEW, but somehow, some way, I think AEW will make its way here. But I'm waiting for that announcement. Because if it is, book your flights to Toronto, guys. Let's go. Party time.
Yeah.
All Out.
Absolutely. Or whenever they're here.
Yeah, just come. Come out. We have a couch. It's nice.
Yeah.
So it'll be all right. We're trying to get one of our friends, Eric Marcotte, to come up for Double or Nothing.
I know. He's
ducking us.
He's ducking us.
He's scared.
Yeah, just like that. Brandon from New Jersey as well, always ducking us.
Yeah. Well, he's a bitch.
He is. Yeah. Eric, come on, Double or Nothing. What say you?
Well, we can jump into some Dynamite. I will let people know that we have a bunch of other podcasts out this week. Of course, we have all the best match ever. We did an Owen Hart match in honor of his birthday in the Owen Hart tournament. So go check out all the best of Owen. We did a best of the Steiner brothers. We did a best of Shawn Michaels, best of Razor Ramon. We have so many podcasts out. We have the retro NXT reviews, which is pretty much just watching the current stars of AEW.
Yeah.
In 2013, so that's pretty
Dynamite
awesome.
Dynamite developmental, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It's also, today, actually, is the 25th anniversary of Slamboree 1997 from WCW. So I'll be uploading that podcast out on the Patreon later today. That's we talked all about the NWO versus Team WCW. Ric Flair versus the NWO in a multi-man match with some football players. I'm not quite sure why, but hey, it was all right.
Cross promotion.
Ultimo Dragon versus William Regal
yeah.
on that card as well, which was awesome.
Just like Kyle versus Phoenix, really.
Similar styles. Yeah. It was.
Just exactly the same.
All these other bunch of matches on that show. So go check that out. Review as well. $5 a month. North
yeah,
America
I enjoyed tour. That one. I do like going back to old WCW because it is kind of fresh. For me,
yeah,
like, didn't watch a whole bunch back in the day.
I mean, the cruiserweight division, the junior division in WCW was just the highlight.
Oh yeah,
every show whenever we go back and watch. But yeah, go check out that podcast out later today. But patreon.com/upnext. It's only $5, and you get so many podcasts at your fingertips whenever you want to listen to them. And there's so many out there on there, and still so many more coming up. Next weekend is Double or Nothing. We're going to be watching it Sunday, but I don't know. You have to work Monday during the day, so we might be doing some sort of review on the Monday, probably before Raw, around like 6:30 or something like that. So stay updated for that, just because of work stuff. We want to go and do our review of it, but we know a lot of people go live afterwards. We were going to have some friends over, enjoy the pay-per-view. So
these are normally quite long shows.
They're going to end at like midnight, so it's like
I feel we'll be better reviewing it the next day. We've had time to think about it all. We'll get all the news coming out of it we can talk about.
Yeah.
So probably, yeah, Monday evening, imagining around like 6:30, 7 p.m.
Yeah, we'll go live probably on Twitch and put it up on the free feed as well. But we will be back with BD Elite and stuff as well next week. But yeah, so many different podcasts. Follow our socials and join our Facebook group if you haven't already, because we have so much stuff going on. And Dynamite, from May 18th, from last night, from Texas. Mm. They just love going Houston. To Texas. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Texas is huge.
Is it?
Yeah.
I heard it's pretty big.
It's everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah, even Texas.
But yeah, they're in Texas a lot.
Yeah. Houston, we have a problem. It's Wild Card Wednesday.
It is.
Wild Card.
Although, and like, who is it going to be? Two jokers, two surprises on this week's show.
There's going to be a joker in the men's tournament, which starts off this show. Samoa Joe, the Ring of Honor pure, no, TV champion? There's
a TV champion.
TV champion. He is in a match in the Owen tournament, and he will be facing the Joker. His music hits. We don't know it yet. Tony Khan has said that the Jokers are now signed to AEW.
Okay.
So whoever comes out tonight is new to the roster. Music we're unfamiliar with hits. The Titantron flashes. Johnny Elite. Yeah, sorry. Not the Johnny I was looking for, actually. Johnny Hennigan. John Elite. Johnny Morrison. Johnny Nitro.
Yeah.
Johnny, whatever you want to call him, comes out.
Let down, really, I think.
Johnny Let Down?
Yeah.
Not
I mean,
my Johnny.
I like John Morrison, Johnny Mundo,
yeah.
Johnny Nitro.
Me
like,
too.
He's good. But I think when you're announcing... Like, this was built for a few weeks, this Joker. It wasn't like it was just thrown out during the week. It's been a few weeks. I think we know all the people that are on the free agent market right now. We know there's a Johnny Gargano kicking around. We know there's a Cesaro kicking around. You know that, like, Miro's been out of action for a while and should be coming back. I think this put... I think it puts the talent in a bad position as well.
It's like...
I feel bad for... Johnny, like, because everyone's like, ah, man, it's...
The crowd were still alive for
they
him.
They were, like, bless respectful him. For it.
Yeah, they were.
But I got to say, I was disappointed. And it kind of, like, took me out of the match a little bit as well.
Look, I'm not going to rub dirt on John Morrison, because there's been times I've absolutely loved him. I loved his Jim Morrison promos in ECW WWE. I can't, I don't know why, but I do. I love some of his work. I think if you announce this... It would have worked better.
I think so. I think if last week you just, like we've had in the past, when they've just randomly thrown up a graphic when they've been, and next week we've got Minoru Suzuki versus Samoa Joe, and you go, sorry, what? I think if you did that, I think if you just went, hey, next week we've got John Morrison versus Samoa Joe in a first round match, I think everyone would have been, oh, that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Johnny Mundo signed.
Johnny Elite.
Johnny Elite.
Terrible name. But I mean, that's his gimmick. He does that everywhere he...
Wouldn't Johnny Dynamite be better?
Johnny Dynamite.
I think that sounds better. And especially when you've got a group called the Elite.
Johnny Elite.
Johnny Elite.
Yeah, it's pretty. It was a pretty lame duck.
I was disappointed.
He should have came out as Boone. What is it? Boone the dog? Hounty? What is it? Didn't he dress up as like a character? A bounty hunter character or something? It was weird. Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't that Leo Kruger?
Yeah. So Johnny Elite is here, and again, I think this would have been, I think a lot of people, maybe it's just us being the smart wrestling fans being like, well, it could be Cesaro, it could be this, we're putting this into the air, like
but
saying
this. But I think when Tony's delivered stuff like, you know, Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole, like that, those kind of surprises, Samoa Joe signing with him, I think it is a little bit of a, okay.
I think you should have announced it.
I don't think I think it got overhyped.
Yeah.
And sure, like, I mean, and I don't think I'm alone. Like, looking at Twitter and stuff, I think a lot of people are like, ah, oh, man, like, I like Johnny, but,
eh. Chris in the Twitch chat saying, are you talking about Dog the Bounty Hunter? Yes, I do love Dog the Bounty Hunter. Definite guilty pleasure of mine. However, Johnny Mundo did this, like, movie where he was Boone the Bounty Hunter or something like that. And then, was it Impact or WWE where he, like... dressed up like that character and acted like that character for a while.
Right.
I'm not crazy.
I can't say I've watched all of his career.
I feel like it was in the recent years. I feel like it was
recently. Just think of Dripstick.
Dripstick? Yeah, he didn't
And
have
I didn't
one.
Really watch him in TNA.
I'm trying to think of when that was. I'm not crazy, I swear. But yeah, Boone the Bounty Hunter or something like that. Really weird. Well, Johnny Elite is going up against Samoa Joe in this Owen Hart tournament. We get some pretty cool moves from Johnny here, showcasing his ability. I mean, some of the stuff he can do is nuts. Some handsprings into a huge clothesline. He gets Joe on the outside and does this crazy twisting inverted spiral corkscrew thing and kind of misses Joe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not really a great start here for
the flips Johnny. Were nice, but yeah, it didn't really do a whole lot.
Boone the Bounty Hunter. I was right. Thank you, Knocked Out, in the Twitch chat. So there's Johnny Elite in control here, even though he kind of missed Joe with that corkscrew. I bet his butt was hurting. It was kind of like the cannonball from Brutus on NXT.
Boy.
In the ring, Johnny runs into Joe, catching him in the corner and slams him down with the Uranagi, then the back senton. Johnny goes up for the 450 splash and kind of hits it. It was not the prettiest 450. However, Joe kicks out of that. Eventually, Joe messes him up, puts him in the corner, hits the muscle buster, and 1-2-3, Samoa Joe advances in the Owen tournament.
This was okay. It didn't do a whole lot for me, to be honest. I think I was a little taken out of it the first couple of minutes, just because it was sort of it's John Morrison, and then you go on Twitter and see all the jokes.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And then the match itself, like, felt to me kind of like just something you'd see on Raw.
It was. Again, like, I think you could have serviced yourselves better here if you just announced this match.
And I think also as soon as John Morrison came out, I think when people were going, oh, what if it's Cesaro? You then go, oh, well, who do you put over? Does Cesaro go over Joe? I think as soon as Johnny Elite came out, you're like, all right, so Joe's beating this guy.
Yeah. The dripstick.
Yeah.
So Joe, right afterwards, is attacked by Satnam Singh, Sanjay Dutt, and Jay Lethal, and they're putting the boots to Joe when he is saved by Trent, Rocky, and Chucky for the save here. But yeah, I'm assuming we get Joe versus Satnam Singh or something.
So
we, I don't know.
So we've got, what, Joe versus Kyle next week?
What?
Isn't that the bracket?
Okay. That's ridiculous.
And the winner will go on to the final.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been building this Satnam Singh thing, but are you really going to Kyle versus Cole at the pay-per-view?
Interesting.
Which would be, yeah, quite interesting.
No, I wouldn't put Kyle in that match. I think Samoa Joe wins.
So this whole Jay Lethal thing isn't building to the pay-per-view?
This Jay Lethal thing sucks. It doesn't
Maybe I've got my brackets wrong, but like,
I think just you're right.
Just having a look here. Yeah, Samoa Joe is going to face Kyle O'Reilly next week, and Adam Cole is already in the final. So you're either getting Cole versus Joe, which would be interesting because that had been teased quite a bit in NXT.
Yeah, it was.
When Samoa Joe was kind of assistant to the general manager.
Yeah.
Or you do Kyle versus Cole, where obviously we've got a lot of history from those two in Ring of Honor and NXT. But is that a little soon? Like, we've had those matches within the last year in a different company.
Yeah, I think it would make sense for Joe and Cole. It's definitely something that's a bit fresh and sounds like a pretty sweet kind of matchup, like almost like an ROH different era dream matchup there kind of happening. But yeah, then the whole stuff with Joe and Satnam Singh and Jay Lethal is just weird.
It is weird.
So maybe you
I feel like surely you're doing Joe Lethal for the TV title.
Yeah.
Very odd.
So Kyle versus Cole at the pay-per-view?
I guess so.
Weird. Though they're boys.
But also you've teased this a potential multi-man match.
Yeah.
With Sting and the Hardys and Darby.
Yeah, you essentially tease at the end of the show Hardys, Darby, and Sting versus Red Dragon and Bucks.
Yeah.
So what the... So then it's Joe versus Cole.
So it's Joe versus Cole, and maybe
really weird.
You do the TV title thing on a Rampage or whatever. They're in Vegas. They're in a big arena for both Dynamite and Rampage. They're doing...
Right.
So maybe you have to stack those shows as well.
Sure, I guess, but still.
Yeah.
Either way, both
sound interesting to me, yeah.
I have a question, though. Who the fuck is Satnam Singh? Why does he keep showing up on my show? I don't know who he is. I don't care about him. He sucks. Like, to have Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt being the, like, highlight, like, and I know who these guys are. I grew up watching these guys. They were indie legends to me, and they're still not making any sense, so.
Yeah, I almost feel a lot of this stuff is just like to when a Ring of Honor deal comes through, it's like, all right, now we're shifting this, just putting it there.
Yeah, I think
so. And like your Joe Lethal Sanjay Dutt, all of that will probably just move over to there with Tully and Brian Cage.
Because you'd imagine it's like Jay Lethal versus Samoa Joe at the pay-per-view or something.
I would think so.
You don't, it doesn't, it could be cool. So it's just weird. We get the news that Jeff Hardy has been medically cleared to fight tonight. They just told him right now, even though they advertised the match to all of us for a week. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was banged up last week.
He was.
In that match.
He took a swanton on a... On a,
he did a lot of
stairs,
things.
He did it on chairs.
He did a lot of things.
Packed a lot in that match.
So Jeff Hardy is backstage with Matt, and they're like, hey, you're clear to wrestle. You can fight Adam Cole tonight. When the Young Bucks walk in, and they're wearing their floral onesies, their rompers, if you will, and they're like, oh, Jeff. First they like, wow, what a match, Jeff. You know, we love you, Jeff, and we love you, Matt. And then they start making backhanded compliments here, saying, you know, you're just a shell of your former self. And they start like, oh, but you're so good, though. But, like, yeah, you're not the same Hardy Boys that you were. And Matt Hardy takes offense to this and steps up and says, like, shut up, Young Bucks. Jeff Hardy says, man, miss me with that Christian AF BS. Jeff Hardy giving me a genuine laugh out loud pop here.
It's the accent as well. It's fuck the, like, up. North Carolina accent saying it.
They're like, oh, Matt Hardy then says, look, Jeff is a legit Hardy, unlike you two Hardy Boys cosplayers. Just know that you'll never be as tough as us, no matter how hard you try. And the Bucks say, yeah, well, you'll never be as, you won't be as better as us. We're better than you. We're the next step. So the Bucks kind of getting pissed off at the Hardy Boys here, which just makes me rub my hands together. Be like, why wouldn't you do Hardy's Bucks if you can? Like, do it. Put it on the pay-per-view.
I mean, that's the thing. Are we, you could build like a big dynamite around this match, couldn't you? You could have this be a huge main event of like a big dynamite you're setting up to and do the multi-man at the pay-per-view. Or is it the other way around? Are we getting the multi-man coming out of the pay-per-view and doing Bucks Hardy's there?
Bucks Hardy's at the pay-per-view makes more sense because it's such a like... we've seen it before in Ring of Honor and stuff like that, but to actually have it with this production value and stuff like that, it is interesting to me.
But then where does that leave... Do you do Sting and Darby versus Red Dragon at the pay-per-view as well then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Sting's walking
right now. Pay-per-views, like, yeah, that's the thing. You've written him off. Are you going to do a pay-per-view without Darby?
Right.
Like, there's a lot on this show already.
This is true.
So, interesting. And we're only, like, just a week out, and we're still kind of questioning what's going on. Like, there's already... six matches announced for the pay-per-view.
Crazy.
And I imagine they'll throw in a few more.
Yeah. Well, CM Punk comes out. He's wearing abortion rights or human rights t-shirt, which I'm sure got the internet all up in a bunch. But sometimes it's nice to see wrestlers use their head.
Absolutely.
I do.
Like this.
I support wrestlers who, you know, support human rights.
I like both him and Hangman often.
Yeah.
Do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We've seen Punk wear the get your own.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah.
You've got a platform and you're using it.
100%.
In a good way.
Yeah. 100%. Shout out Punk. He also teases the crowd dive, which he hasn't done in a long time. Remember that era of Punk just showing up and jumping into the crowd? No, none of that.
He's wrestling more these days.
Yeah,
that was his first month where he's not wrestling yet.
They're like, Punk, you can't be jumping into a crowd of people. COVID's still a thing now. You could be jumping into this crowd and getting monkeypox. The new wave.
Is that a thing
now? That's the new thing now.
How COVID, do I get this one?
COVID's so last year, bro. Monkeypox is in.
What is this shit?
I don't know. It looks like you, if you fuck a monkey, you get like pox all over yourself or something. It's transmittable, though. You better watch out.
Fever, headache, muscle aches, exhaustion. Great.
Monkeypox. Sounds great.
How many catch this?
It could be... I don't know. Is it, like, sexually transmitted?
Oh, I'm okay, then.
There has been cases found in Canada today.
Awesome.
Better watch out.
Things just keep getting better,
don't
they?
Don't go jumping into random crowds.
Okay.
All right. CM Punk joins the commentary desk because he is going to be on commentary for this next match. The AEW champion Hangman Page is going one-on-one against Kono... What is it? I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Konosuke Takeshita?
Takeshita. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this guy
who's
is
done
awesome.
A bunch on, like, Dynamite... sorry, on Dark and Dark Elevation. I think he had that match against Brandon Cutler that people were kind of talking about quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Shot in the Dark, John Cena, he's been telling us, like, this guy's awesome. And from some of the stuff we have seen, we're like, okay, cool.
It's from DDT.
Yeah, he is from DDT here. And now he's in the U.S. Well, Takeshita is going up against Hangman Page, and there is some explosive action back and forth here. There's a huge crossbody to the outside, like super high angle here, which was awesome. Hangman comes back with a backbreaker on the apron. Back in the ring, trading blows. There's the blue thunderbomb from Takeshita, and CM Punk is like, oh, I know the guy who invented that move, El Generico. And Excalibur and him start talking about, who's Excalibur? Like, oh, is that... Where's Excalibur? Is that guy still around? No. Is he dead? No. He's just...
El Generico.
Yeah, El Generico. What did I say?
Excalibur.
Excalibur. He says, that move was made by El Generico. And he's like, oh, is he dead? He's like, no. I heard he moved to Mexico to live with the orphans.
I love that that's just, like, kayfabe amongst everyone.
And Punk just goes, well, rest in peace anyways. Mm. To Generico. Shout out El Generico. Well, there's the Blue Thunderbomb, which was awesome. There's a huge Tope Con Hilo from Takeshita as well. And then a series of Huluva kicks, which definitely El Generico inspired here. But Hangman ain't taking that shit. So he runs back and hits a series of boots from himself into the corner. And then these huge Germans. Eventually, Hangman is Germaned overhead. Just nasty here. But eventually gets to his feet and counters a move and hits the tombstone here. But it's only a two count. And then somehow Takeshita here hits the last ride, like the Undertaker's version of doing it. So you had Hangman hitting the tombstone, and then the last ride where you get the guy so high up.
Hangman's a big guy.
Yeah, he gets dumped here, which is awesome. Somehow he kicks out. There's a series of knee strikes, Germans, eventually Hangman teases the buckshot. It's missed, but eventually hits it, finally taking him out. But then while he's staggering, Hangman puts him up on the shoulders, looks over at commentary. CM Punk smiles because he knows what he's doing. And Hangman hits the go-to sleep. 1, 2, 3. This looked awesome. The sell here. Mm. It looked like he legit went to sleep. Hangman wins the match in a very impressive match. I mean, welcome to America, Takeshita here, because this was a breakout moment.
Oh, 100%. Like, in losing here, he got over huge. Like, he really impressed me. He did a lariat off the turnbuckle, like Kobashi would do.
Yeah, to stand hands.
Looked awesome. Just really, I think both these styles worked really well, because both guys they're pretty quick, but they've got some size with them, and like their lariats, their clothesline, all like that kind of stuff, the big boots, I thought they meshed really well together. I think I am leaning towards wanting Hangman to win against Punk, because I feel his matches have been excellent as champion. But I do think the way he's kind of been positioned on TV, he doesn't feel like the guy in this company, and I think he should. I think he's had the best title matches of any AEW champion. And just little TV matches like this, just building up quite a resume this year of good quality. And I think he's finally got that little edge going into this Punk feud, and beating a top guy like Punk could solidify him and make him the guy. I liked as well Punk kind of saying about the GTS and how he popularized it and all that. There's been a bit of back and forth between him and Kenta. Angling for a match, and Punk being like, nah. So I don't know if this is like a deliberate Punk trolling, or is this a little tease towards Forbidden Door, perhaps Punk Kenta?
Right. Yeah, I don't really have interest in that match. I know people are like, oh, we got to see eventually, sure. But for this Forbidden Door thing, I don't know if that would be the direction. I would have Hangman win. I've decided. I want Hangman to win. And Forbidden Door, Punk Okada, without the AEW title involved. But I don't know.
See, I think it could be Punk Kenta and Hangman
Okada. Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty...
And I think that's how, if you want to position this guy as the guy, you should have him be against the champion.
Right.
But then how do you book that
when
it's champion v. champion?
Yeah.
Hopefully this is your yearly tradition. So it's not just a one-off where you're going to have to burn through all those dream matches away. Like, we can get a couple of them.
I love this match.
I think any combination on this show, unless we're getting six mans or stuff like that, which I don't think we will.
Yeah.
I think any combination is going to be great. But I thought this was a fucking good match.
Yeah, one of the best TV matches for sure. Hangman definitely solidifying himself. It continues to. His matches always hit for me. But this kid that you know we're not familiar with, Takeshita here, he's amazing. So I can't wait to see more of him. It would make me watch some of his matches on Dark and stuff like that. Like, he was very impressive. So someone to watch for sure. We do get a stare down with Punk and Hangman. And Punk's doing the, like, cheer me. And then it's like, oh, see, they like me more than you.
He's being cheeky.
Yeah.
Like, I like how he wasn't, like, shitting on Paige during commentary. He was, like, putting him over as a good guy. But he's like, hey, this is the map, so I'm going to try and piss you off.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then Hangman eventually walks off because he was getting less cheers than CM Punk, which will probably happen at Double or Nothing. So Hangman better get ready for those. But I'm super hyped for this match. They've done a great job. They did a great job last week. I think next week you need something physical. I don't know who does what to who, but I think Punk could be hitting Hangman with the GTS. Like, to kind of... Because they're both baby faces, but you know, they're both being a little mean to each other.
Could have them tag. No. Do that classic
thing. No, please don't do that. Yeah, no. We go to Fuego del Sol. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. His tag team partner left to go to WWE.
He did, yeah.
So Fuego needs a new partner.
He does.
And I mean, Evil Uno.
Sammy's ditched him as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Sammy's ditched him for his love. So Evil Uno also lost a tag team partner recently. So why not put them together?
Yeah.
Fuego del Sol and the Dark Order are joining forces to face the House of Black on Rampage. And then the way they end the promo is doing the numbers. So it's like, it's 1, which is Evil Uno, right? Because he's Uno. And then 10 is Preston Vance. And then they point at Fuego being 2. So he could be the new player 2. That's what they kind of signaled.
Sorry, he's taking Grayson's number?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I heard them on, it was either AW or Renee Paquette or whatever, and they were saying about the numbers, and they made it sound like once you've got this number, you've got it for life. They've reserved...
Not Stu Grayson.
They've reserved 6 for X-Pac.
Okay.
They said, because they were explaining the numbers, and they skipped 6, and they're like, well, that's if X-Pac ever comes. Like, we need to give him number 6. So Stu's lost his number?
I mean, I'd
say you'd hang up 2 in the rafters.
Look, I just watched the show, and that's what I got out of this promo. I didn't read this anywhere. That's what I assume from them doing 1, 2, 10.
Damn.
So it's like, okay.
Oh, poor Stu.
So Fuego's going to start wearing purple?
Yeah.
He's going to hang out in the...
He should just take the mask off and shave his head and be Stu Grayson. Just dress like him.
Fuego's good, but he's no Stu Grayson.
Be fake Stu Grayson.
Where's Stu Grayson going to land?
I don't know. I found that an interesting...
Yeah, he's great.
...non-signing. I think he's awesome. And I think Dark Order are a pretty popular act. It's felt weird the last couple of months, how they've sort of dropped them, especially with the Hangman connection. Like, it felt very loose, the connection with him and John Silver last week.
Really weird. We go to Swerve and Keith Lee, the team of them. Swerve Lee, what are they calling themselves? Swerve to the limit? No limit? Swerve limit.
Swerve something.
Well, they're going up against the Work Horsemen, meaning it's JD Drake with his nice frosted silvery hair from the Wingmen. And I always forget his partner.
Anthony Henry.
Yeah, that's right. These two, every time they announce these two, I'm like, yes, this will be the night they finally get to show their super great wrestling ability. And then they're just jobbing out.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are...
Enhancement talent.
Enhancement talent. They're your, like, AW Dark kind of guys.
Yeah.
But we've seen them. We've seen them in indies and stuff and know how good they are. So it's... But you see who they're up against, and you're like, ah, you're going to die, unfortunately.
They get little to some offense in on Swerve, but eventually Lee comes in with the shoulder cross to JD, and then it sets up for their sweet finishing move, which I think they're calling the Spirit Bomb. That's what I would call it, this, like, stomp Spirit Bomb thing. The Spirit Bomb is already what he...
That's the name he calls it, but this is with, like, the stomp. Cave-in double stomp.
So the Spirit Stomp.
Spirit Stomp.
Yeah, I mean, this movie...
It looks great.
Anthony Henry has tweeted, that sucked.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It looks so good. So Lee and Swerve win the match here. When there was a bit on commentary where Excalibur messed something up, and like JR's like, oh, it's okay. You said the wrong thing. Don't worry. The internet will forgive you. Not me, though. So JR's been seeing what you've been saying about him, everybody, on the internet.
Yeah. The internet, I mean, won't. He's not going to let that go. That's still a bit of like WWE in JR.
JR is wiping his tears with the new contract money he's signed to AEW.
Oh, I forgot to say, during the Punk on commentary, when Excalibur brings up that Takeshita fought Tenryu, he was like, he fought Tenryu? That's so cool. It's like any other time, like we're watching Slamboree from 97. This guy fought Tenryu. Who?
Yeah.
And even JR would kind of do that at times. Right. So it was just quite nice. Big he just fan. Sounded like a little boy. He fought Tenryu?
After this match, Lee and Swerve have the mic, and the crowd is chanting Bask in his glory. And they say that with this win, it puts us in line for a shot at the tag titles. When they're interrupted by Team Taz, Ricky Starks, and Hobbs with some great ripped jeans and stuff. And they say, Ricky Starks first calls Keith Lee Rex from Toy Story, which I think, I mean, is funny because like Rex is giant and big and stuff like that. But really, if you're going to make a Toy Story joke, he's clearly the big bear, is he not? Isn't there a bear in like Toy Story 3 or 4?
Yeah, I mean, J.D. Drake looks just like the bear from Toy Story.
Yeah, true, yeah, true. But Keith Lee, too.
Lazo, is it?
Yeah, Keith Lee looks like
was
him,
was he calling
too.
Keith Lee Rex?
He called Rex.
Surely
called
that's Luchasaurus.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
I didn't get the line. I assumed it was directed at Luchasaurus, who looks like Rex from Toy Story.
I didn't get the line, yeah, I didn't get it. He says that you guys are just selfish jabronis, and I beat Jungle Boy, and I'm going to beat you guys, too, if you step to us. And this is when they call Ricky Starks dressed like a bar of soap with a necklace on, which I got that reference. I was like, yeah, you do look like a bar of soap with a necklace on. This eventually sets up Jungle Express to come out, the champions, and Christian Cage has the microphone and says, Ricky, shut up. He says, you always come out here with your chest puffed up while you look like you're going golfing with my grandfather. And I get it, Ricky. You beat Jungle Boy last week, so now you think you're ready for a real championship, not like that toy you've been carrying around. He says, you both are worthy teams, but you're not the best. Jurassic Express is the best because they are the champions, and that means that. So they say, why don't both these teams face us at Double or Nothing, three-way triple threat tag for the titles?
It was weird, though, because Christian said something along the lines of, let's do something unprecedented. Let's do something not done before. It's the last pay-per-view literally had a three-way tag match. But cool. I think it was clear this is the way it was going. I'm kind of down for this, and I think it's time for a title change.
Title change?
Yeah, I'm still going to go for Team Taz.
Team Taz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. I would be down. Lee and Swerve, though, are pretty sweet as this team, but these two teams should feud.
You need, like, Jurassic Express to drop the title so you can get to this Christian Jungle Boy story.
Okay, yeah. So what, they lose the titles and then Christian consoles them after and then goes for the hug for Jungle Boy?
Kicks him in the balls.
Or instead, Jungle Boy beats up Christian.
I can see that being a thing.
It needs to happen.
But also, I just, realistically, I don't think it would work as well. I think it's very obvious, Christian being the bad guy and Jungle Boy being the good guy. But I also think it makes a bit more sense. I don't know if Jungle Boy has it in him to have that edge quite yet.
We all keep saying Jungle Boy is the future. Jungle Boy is going to be the next big star. Jungle Boy is a pillar here in AEW. Yeah, well, he's tagging with the dinosaur, smiling all the time. Sorry, Luke Perry's kid. You need to ruffle some feathers before you know. I watched 90210. You think Luke Perry's character on that show was always the good guy? Yeah, he was. But sometimes you need to do bad things to get ahead. And I could see that happening with Jungle Boy. Selfishly, I want that to happen.
It would be interesting. I don't know if... I don't know if you'd get the crowd as behind Christian in that. And, like, I think both are very much
suited
the other way around, you know? But it would be interesting and to see if he could pull it off.
Christian gets the legend pop, though. Like, he gets the, oh, I know who that guy is. I watched him a lot. So he instantly gets cheered. So that's why I would be like, well, why would you want the guy who's already, like, known and famous to get booed all the time? Mm. But he's a great heel. He's such a good heel. Yeah. So either way, I'm interested in this storyline. But wouldn't it be interesting if Jungle Boy was the Swerve heel? Or the Dinosaur, too. The Dinosaur can be evil, too. Heel Dino?
Dinosaur takes both of them out.
Spinosaurus Rex or some shit. Like, he just turns heel. And, yeah. Like, they kill Christian, and then Christian's got to get attacked.
I mean, the feud's going to end with Jungle Boy hitting the concerto on
Christian.
100%. They should have him and Luchasaurus do the proper concerto on Christian.
Heel dinosaurs on... I mean, dinosaurs are kind of heel, but, you know, damn, I'm excited. So the triple threat at the pay-per-view sounds great as well. Yeah. But you're saying Team Taz?
Yeah. I think so. I think they benefit more from it.
Yeah. We get a video for Chris Statlander. She's talking about how she's not an alien anymore. When the baddie section walks in with Jade, and Jade calls her Alien Girl and tells Tony to cut the shit. This means there's a match coming up on, was it Rampage, I think, that they announced? Is it Statlander?
Statlander Red Velvet in the Owen.
Right, and they were friends before and stuff like that they mentioned. But I like the character change from Statlander, but...
It's not pronounced enough for me yet. Like
she's just a normal person.
They teased it when she was with Layla. Like, maybe she was having a bit of a darker side. Her hair's darker. Her makeup's different. I haven't seen enough change. I've just seen, like, kind of dropping the alien stuff. So to me, she's a little less interesting than she was before.
Well, we go to MJF. And he comes down to the ring. He says, cut my music. It's time for the 10 lashes to Wardlow, his friend, his ex-friend. He says, it was great being in Long Island. I missed Long Island. And now I'm in Hugh. And he starts to pretend that he's throwing up. And then he keeps doing it. Keeps doing the fake gagging thing. And then finally goes, I'm in Houston, Texas. Okay, I got it out of the way. I thought that was pretty funny. He then brings out Wardlow and says, if you attack me today, Wardlow, your match, this whole thing is over with. So you just got to take the lashes. And then next week you face Sean Spears in the cage match and all that stuff. So he tries to get in Wardlow's face by calling him all these things. Wardlow doesn't move. He's handcuffed. He gets the Goldberg entrance again.
It's like the grating lifting up.
The door. Yeah, the garage door.
Topless, handcuffed.
What a scene.
It's such a great entrance.
It's like a movie. Yeah. It's like some futuristic, like, apocalyptic thing walking with the chains. It's
Jason X coming out, isn't it?
Yeah. Weird flex, but yeah, it is. MJF spits in the face of Wardlow to piss him off here and starts giving him these lashes, and Wardlow no-sells them. Mm. He's not going to handle these. He just stands there smiling, which is funny, because remember when MJF did these to Cody?
Yeah.
Cody was acting like a little bitch. my back!
I liked it, though, because it was different from Cody. Yeah. I think everything they're doing with Wardlow is perfect, and having him just, like, stand there, like, stoic, absorbing this and not giving anything, I thought was awesome.
So he keeps giving a few of these, whipping him with the belt, and he's getting mad that Wardlow is no-selling them. So he continuously whips him, like, fast. Sean Spears gets involved and says, hold on, let me hit him a few times. So he does a few, still no-sells, even though the camera showing his back is just messed up from this. Eventually, MJF has one more, and he's teasing, like, it's going to be the biggest lash there is right here. And instead just kicks him in the balls. And then it's a beat down from Sean Spears and MJF here attacking him, saying, you know, you won't make it to the pay-per-view next week. Sean Spears in the cage match. But I like
this
segment.
I love this. MJF is always just absolute gold on the mic. Wardlow, I think they're doing everything right with him. I thought this was great.
So next week is the cage match.
Yes.
Which should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
He made it through the lashings. And I mean, this match is going to be huge. What's the deal with all this MJF stuff, though? People saying that, you know, he might be extending his contract or not signing or going to WWE.
I think it's he wants his contract re-evaluated because he is one of the top stars in that company. And I think he's on kind of like a rookie contract still. So obviously he signed through to 2024. But I kind of think rightfully so. If you're getting, like, kind of rookie money, MJF's in, like, your top.
He's main eventer, pay-per-view.
Right? Yeah. He's a main eventer now. So I kind of see it from his point of view, and I kind of I think it's rubbing people up the wrong way how he's going about it, but it's MJF. It's very him. It's very kayfabe. So it's interesting. I think he knows. I think, especially seeing Cody go across, I think he knows he'd be a big deal if he went to WWE in 2024.
He would be a huge star, a bigger star than he ever will be in AEW, just because you're WWE, you get shown everywhere.
Exposed and way more.
Yeah, you will become like a bigger household name being the biggest heel in wrestling just because you already are the biggest heel. You just kind of, not all these wrestling fans necessarily watch AEW. Not as many people watch this show. Mm. I genuinely think if he were to jump, it would connect as being...
And I kind of think they do the Cody thing where they keep him...
The same character, 100%. Yeah. They could even use the music.
Yeah.
It's royalty-free.
Royalty-free.
I do think that if he ever jumped to WWE, it would, A, make me watch, because I would have to see what they do with this guy, to let him see what they do with this character and how they let him portray it on their programming. I just think he would be over as the biggest bad guy in like wrestling again, because he has done it for me. He's one of the reasons I love watching this show all the time. He's such a good bad guy. I genuinely think that when everyone thought the Cody stuff was a work, and even Cody was like, I don't know if it was a work or not. I was still like, you know, hoping to do something with WWE, and it worked out.
Yeah,
I think that inspired MJF to go, oh, I can make that a storyline.
And I think we see just... in the business, how little leverage the performers have.
Sure.
We see people signing 3-5-year contracts with WWE and then being cut after 4 months, but when they ask for their release, not being granted it and stuff like that. So I'm kind of for the talent, like trying to, if they do have that leverage, use it and try and get as much money as you can out of these billionaires.
He is a big star of this show, of AEW. He has main evented many Dynamites. He has main evented a pay-per-view before. Like, he is a big draw, I think, for this company. And I would hope that he stays, because I think he will be the champion very soon, whether next year, this year, whatever. But, I would, as a fan, just love to see him stay here, because he will be the guy. He already is one of the guys here. If you said top five guys, he's up in this upper echelon of the stars here. He is the pillar. Like, the four pillars, he's way above the other three.
I think so.
At the moment. Like, he's already, like, shown. And he's still so young, which is crazy. But the Punk MJF storyline made me go, wow, this guy is everything you need in wrestling. So I think he's great. But this is coming from me, someone who hates Monday Night Raw and WWE and all that stuff. How smart would it be if he were to jump over there?
Oh, absolutely.
He'd be the biggest heel ever, just like Cody. Yeah. So, I think it's great. Wrestling will flourish. Shout out MJF. We go to Roppongi Vice backstage. Yeah, that's right. Trent and Rocky. And no Chucky. They say that they've wanted to do something that's eluded them, and that's the ROH tag titles. Hell, even the IWGP tag titles. So they challenge FTR to a match for the ROH tag titles and say, come on, accept our challenge. Brett would.
Is this double or nothing?
I think this is next week.
Because what are FTR going to do otherwise? A double or nothing?
Oh, yeah.
It does feel like a Dynamite match more so. But then,
you're right.
FTR are on such a hot streak, it feels a little odd to have them left off of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, true. What would you do for the pay-per-view? What other teams is there for the...
I guess just do this.
At the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could put it on the opener.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be a good match. Like,
me too.
Honestly,
It does seem a bit out of nowhere, but you've got to get FTR on there somehow. So why not? Trent did ask me anything on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
So I asked him. I was like, "You're full time Roppongi Vice. What about Chucky?" And I guess a load of people asked him the same thing, because he said best friends are full time as well.
Wow.
So he's full time two jobs right now.
Yeah, best friends are forever.
Yeah. Exactly.
He was out there earlier with them chasing off someone else, so you can have two.
I'm sure it'll be a really good match as well. Like, obviously Trent and Rocky aren't really that high up in priority in AEW, but they're great wrestlers, and I think a match against FTR could be really fun.
Actually, the match sounds really good.
Yeah,
and it hasn't happened before, so that's even cooler. We go to our next match, which is the Owen Hart Tournament semifinal. And this is, or no, semifinal?
Quarterfinal.
Kyle O'Reilly going up against Rey Fénix, 1-on-1. And right off the bat, when the bell rings, Kyle knows Rey Fénix is fast on his feet. So he kind of does the, like, getting on the ground, like, hey, come grapple me kind of thing. Kind of Kurt Angle-esque. Like, hey, come fight me on the ground because I know I don't want to get up real high with you. And hey, Kyle O'Reilly, of course, technical wizard, really. But Rey Fénix as well, doing a lot of crazy counters to escape a lot of the technical wrestling ability from Kyle here. Eventually, Kyle is sent to the outside, and Rey Fénix just runs through the ropes with this tope, like con hilo, but a suicide dive version of it. So, like, yeah, crazy fast, just insane. In the ring, though, Kyle puts him in a sleeper. He's trying to get him there. There's picture in picture where Kyle is just messing him up. There's a series of kicks and strikes and choke holds and all sorts of stuff. When we come back, Rey Fénix eventually gets out of it. There's a crazy like pump kick. There's some crazy running the ropes, Pele
he,
kick.
Like, ran the ropes and just like thrust kicked Kyle in the face.
I don't know how
he does this stuff.
There's crazy. A crazy torture rack bomb from Fénix for a near fall. Another crazy Rana. Kyle comes back. There's this crazy butterfly suplex hat trick combo that we've seen him do. There's these lariats in the ropes. You know, like Rey Fénix does one of his spinning in the ropes lunatic lariats when Kyle has one of those moves too. So they're like doing it onto each other here, which is crazy. There's a half and half suplex. There's some crazy chops. Part of Kyle O'Reilly's chest looked like absolute dog food here.
Yeah.
Just cut up and purple and everything. There's a series where they're both kicking the shit out of each other and both doing kip-ups and counters. There's a crazy spot where it's like, I think Rey runs the ropes again while Kyle's on the apron and then Rana's him off into the thing. Just insane.
Right into the barricade almost.
Yeah, there's some crazy chaos here. There's then like an apron bomb at one point. Eventually, Rey Fénix has Kyle exactly where he wants him. He does this crazy jump, this flying dive, but caught in midair into the cross arm breaker, the arm bar here. He's linking his hands together to not let Kyle lock it in, but it's broken up, which then the move is tied, just locked in completely, and Rey Fénix has nowhere to go and taps out. Kyle O'Reilly advances in the Owen Hart.
I actually loved how they did the finish with Fénix really trying not to have that hold fully applied and then tapping immediately as soon as those arms were separated.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit.
Like, it's like, nothing I can do that.
It's
I've
like
got
MMA,
to
yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely a match I want to revisit at the end of the year. I think this is a match of the year contender.
This was insane,
this was,
man.
I loved the Hangman match from earlier in the night, but this eclipsed it for me. Just such a great clash of styles. The high-flying with Kyle just doing all his technical stuff. And Kyle's always great. I think this, like, he really showed everyone exactly what he's capable of as a single star. This was really very good.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite matches this year, for sure. I just talking about it now, I'm like, do I watch this again later today? Because I think I might have to. There was just so many back and forth counters and combos and little intricate things that look like nothing, but are like so crazy that are happening.
How Kyle catches these submissions from all these like high flying leaps was awesome.
I'm super happy to see Kyle in a singles match, first of all, and then kill it. Like Rey Fénix, of course, has just become this guy. I can't wait to see Rey Fénix become AEW champion at some point. Like just because the guy is just on another level.
Nuts.
He's insane. I would go so far to say this is one of the best matches I've seen this year.
Yeah,
for
me
sure.
Too, me
full
too.
Stop. Like I would give it all the stars just because the styles here were just crazy. Both of these guys were just on top of it. One of my favorite matches this year for sure. I can't say enough good things about it. Rey Fénix is not human at all. And it makes me interested to see, would you go with Kyle versus Cole at the pay-per-view? Like that, it seems like it would be a cool match, but I don't know if that's...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, but holy shit, this match, I can't wait to watch it back because it was absolutely bonkers. One of the best Dynamite matches, full stop, in my opinion. We go to William Regal, Jericho, face-off. They're going to talk some shit.
They are.
We get Danielson, we get Moxley, we get them in the ring with Eddie Kingston and Proud and Powerful and William Regal. When the Jericho Appreciation Society come out on the entrance ramp, Jericho says, "Oh, Regal, my old friend, I thought you'd be dead by now." to some huge boos from the crowd here. Should be noted, Jake Hager is borrowing some of the Young Bucks gear.
Look great.
The did flower. Jake. we get Jericho talking a lot of shit to William Regal. He says, you know, Regal, you were just like me. You're really good. You could have been a champ anywhere you've been. But instead, you were never a champ. You were just a class act addict. More booze from the crowd. You've been fired everywhere. And look at you. Now you're hanging around with proteges. Santana. Santana and Ortiz, they had me before. They don't need you. You're going to just make them worse. They're like the leftovers. And then he mentions Eddie Kingston's wife. Give me a call. I don't know why that's such a big thing. But
and his daughter and stuff.
His daughter. I hope you're taking care of your baby girl. He says, and then you have Bryan Danielson, who's just a squeaky, clean nerd. You've never had a drink or drug in your life. And then you start hanging around William Regal and Jon Moxley. You're going to be sticking disco biscuits down your throat and drinking, like, you know,
whiskey and
all the time.
You'll join Mox.
You'll be joining the program with Moxley in a heartbeat.
Damn.
Which gets a lot more booze. Definitely a hard-hitting line from Jericho there. And the crowd starts booing him and says, what, you're going to boo me? Don't boo me. Or I'll throw a fireball in your face, because I'm the wizard. Ridiculous.
So stupid.
I could see a lot of people getting mad about some of the stuff Jericho said, but that's what pro wrestling is.
He's a bad guy, and bad guys say bad things. Yeah?
It's great.
Like,
yeah.
It's,
why wouldn't you?
You should be an asshole.
Yeah,
and 100%. As long as the people involved are cool with it, I'm fine. I'm fine with it.
Jericho then ends with, hey, Regal, maybe I'll just take a piss in your tea again.
Yeah.
Which we said last week. Very funny from Jericho here. Definitely getting the crowd turned against him, which is, again, his job. So I'm not mad at them ever bringing in things like Moxley. I'm sure they cleared it with him.
Look,
you know?
This is a blood feud between these two gangs. Like
gangs. Gang, gang.
It should be like this. It should be nasty.
Yeah.
So I was kind of all for Jericho's promo here. Not so much on the Regal bit, but we'll get into that.
Well, William Regal says, hey, shut up. Your whiny voice is worse than a burning orphanage.
Which said the only thing worse than that is a burning orphanage.
And then a lot of people were like, yo, Regal, what the what are you talking about? Talk about burning orphanages, William Regal. Regal says, you've hit some truths, though. And he says, you know, I was this, and I got out of it. I was in dark places, but I somehow got out of it, and, you know, you're using this against me. But just to let you know, Jericho, says Regal, every time I was ever on a show with you, whenever I'd tour with you, we toured a lot, whenever you'd be out having your match, I would go backstage, I would go into your bag, and I would find your toothbrush, and I would rub it up my backside and put it back.
Yeah, how do you top Kyle versus Phoenix? You have Regal say he used to stick people's toothbrush up his bum.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we got here.
So the Jericho appreciate Daniel Garcia is like, hey, shut up. What are you talking about? Don't be talking about Chris Jericho. And Regal says, oh, don't worry. I did it to your toothbrush last week as well. I was a little like, Regal, I think you could have came harder.
It was too, you've just had a guy say,
You're
an addict who should be dead by now, and Mox has fallen into the same traps you have, and Brian's going to be doing the same. I'm going to fuck your wife, and your daughter's going to be all alone. And he's going, I used to stick your toothbrush up my bum.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It was soft.
Yeah.
And didn't fit the intensity of what Jericho brought.
Yeah.
This was more the sports entertainment line, to be honest.
It was a little backwards. I think William Regal could have said some way more nastier shit. It's William Regal. We've heard him say some shit.
Yeah.
It's Moxley. You could have heard Moxley say it. Even Danielson. It was just like, when your friends are having like a diss battle or a rap battle and like your friend bombs, but you're like, yeah, you got him. Don't worry. You got him.
Yeah.
You were killing it. It's like, it wasn't that. It's like when your friend invites you, hey, I'm doing a stand-up show, and like you go see their stand-up show, but they fucking suck, but you have to laugh at their jokes because they're looking at you.
Different context, it would have worked better, I think.
Yeah.
But
in WWE, this would have been the biggest funniest.
Oh, yeah.
People would have... toothbrushes up your bum. I swear this is from a movie, too. There's a movie where he's like, well, I used to stick your toothbrush up your bum or
probably,
whatever. Something like that. Of all the things to to say.
Yeah.
That's what they landed on. I just think it didn't land as good. However, this next bit did. Jericho says, you know, we're the sports entertainers and we want to have a, we want to settle this. So there's a way we can settle this, Jericho says. In a match I made with Jake Hager, we made it famous, one of the best matches ever. So this year, we're going to challenge you at Double or Nothing to a stadium stampede match.
Ah.
When Moxley has a mic and says, no, nah, no, 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 hold on. Miss me with that shit. I don't want to do that stupid shit, he says. I don't want to be sucked into your sports entertainment vortex. We're not doing that. We're not doing that stupid match. We need a bigger match. We need violence. We need blood. We need pro wrestling versus sports entertainment. We need pro wrestling versus that stupid bullshit. Jericho says, oh, you want more violence? Okay, we'll give you more violence. We'll give you more violence. How about an eye for an eye? You like that? Remember that? That was an eye for an eye match that was actually good. Another shot at WWE. He then says, let's fight, bitch. So they're going to set up a match that's not Stadium Stampede. But I was expecting the easy, easy way with William Regal standing right there for Moxley to go, we need blood. We need violence. We need
blood and guts. Yeah, it really felt like that's what they were setting up to. But you do need the two rings for that.
Oh, right.
So we could still get that as a
right.
as a Dynamite, which Blood and Guts was last year.
Okay.
But no, it did feel like all the pieces were lined up for that. Yeah.
And then, like, the Eddie Kingston is like, oh, yeah, because Jericho also mentions, like, oh, you guys hate each other. You guys all have talked shit about each other, and now you're on the same team. Like, what's the deal with that? Eddie ends with, like,
I think that's why he brought up the eye for an eye, because that was Santana and Mox,
with the
who
eye.
Are now on the same team.
So Eddie is like, hey, I'm tired of this. Come in the ring and fight, bitch. Like, stop. Just fight. Just come fight. And then that's when Danielson shoves him, and then they're shoving each other, and you're like, okay, what's going on? There's some, oh no, like some problems with this team.
Tension.
And then Tony Schiavone's like, oh, we got to cut to Matt Sydal backstage in a taped video being like, whoa, those guys are fighting, huh?
Yeah.
Whoa. Looking like Winona Ryder at that award show. Whoa. What? They're fighting in the ring? Clearly taped beforehand.
It did sound very tight. It was, this could have been cut from the show. Like, they were rushing this last hour.
Sorry, your two huge stars are getting in each other's faces, and we gotta cut to Matt. We gotta go to Evan Bourne. He's got something to say.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck.
Yeah, let it breathe. It was, very, very abrupt going back to.
Even if you had Tony go, well, like, problems are happening there. All right, hey, we have this next announcement for, because it's setting up like a match, right? It's them going, we got to go to Matt Sydal. No, we don't ever have to do that, actually. Why are we doing that? No, don't do that.
Yeah, it was weird. Very weird.
I don't even remember what they said. Matt Sydal is like, Dante, are you seeing this? This is crazy. They're fighting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they've got a match on Rampage or something. I don't know.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to what they said because, it was, you need to let the moment breathe a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, let's get Matt Sydal.
I assume they've got a match coming up.
Rampage.
Yeah, I think a Rampage thing.
It's probably like Team Taz, or is it probably Jericho's people? I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not even going to look it up.
No, I'll try and find out what was going on here.
I just like him being
there was
like,
a few, this last like half hour, a lot went over my head, because it was just like, what's going on?
Tony, Schiavone, oh no, sorry. So then we go to our next match, which is the women's Owen Hart semifinal? Not semifinal. Oh, man, I'm messing up. Quarterfinal.
This is a quarterfinal match, yeah.
Britt Baker, DMD, going one-on-one against the Joker. And when the music hits, Maki Ito. Yeah, she's back.
Yeah, a few people were talking about maybe it could be her. Again, a bit of a letdown, I think.
I think it's a bit of a letdown because a lot of people were thinking, okay, well, it could be Ember Moon. It could be, Mrs. Morrison, Mrs. Johnny Elite. There's a few different names.
There's a lot of good female wrestlers out there right now. Tegan Knox, Dakota Kai wouldn't be up quite yet. But
sure, yeah.
Yeah, there are Ember Moon, obviously. Yeah.
Maki Ito.
Oh, Dante and Matt Sydal are taking on Moxie and Danielson. Oh. So good luck to them.
Honestly, I need to watch that now because Matt Sydal needs to get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Just because that promo really annoyed me. Wow. They're fighting? Oh, my God. Yeah, you need to get fucking... You need to bleed, Matt Sydal. Maki Ito is the Joker going up against Britt Baker. But, I mean, if you are a casual wrestling fan, or maybe you thought you were tuning into TBS to watch more reruns of Big Bang Theory, and instead you tune in to see Maki Ito coming out singing her karaoke entrance, you would be in for
a shot. I do love the entrance.
Yeah.
It is a great entrance.
She's got a sign on her microphone that says kawaii, because that's what she is. And she's singing all her theme song here, and she comes into the ring, and Britt's kind of smiling and laughing. And then the bell rings, and nothing's happening. And Britt looks at Maki and says, so we're going to do what we planned. You're going to lay down. I'm going to get the 1, 2, 3, and then we'll go have a few beers after. And Mackie's like, yeah, yeah.
Because these two have tagged before.
Yeah, they're friends.
They were Revolution last year.
That's right.
They were in a tag together.
So Mackie's like, yeah, all right. So she lays down. Britt goes for the finish. But it's a trick. And Ito gets a small package on Britt Baker. 1, 2. Should have been 3.
Yeah, I'd have been happy with this just being a finish.
Well, Britt gets out of it, and she's a little pissed off that Ito would try to do that to her, so then starts putting the boots to her, and there's a lot of Ito, like, walking around and crying.
Yeah, she eats a forearm and is like, ow, that really hurt.
Lots of crying, yeah. There's a pretty cool, crazy-looking DDT from Maki here for a near fall. She keeps going for this standing, stalling, dropping headbutt thing. Eventually, it does connect on Britt for a near fall. It doesn't look like it would hurt that much, but still looks like a funny move.
She does do a big headbutt, though, where she grabs the head and
butts you, yeah.
It's like she's got this crazy, powerful head.
Eventually, Britt counters a series of her moves and locks in the lock jaw, and Maki taps out.
Yeah. I kind of felt the same way about this as I did about Joe and Morrison.
Yeah.
Little bit of disappointment going in. Match wasn't bad, but also wasn't really great. I do enjoy the entrance, but can't say I really thought a great deal about it.
Yeah, I kind of like Maki Ito just because, obviously, her look, the characters, she sings and all this stuff. It's great. I love that. The wrestling was something that didn't really connect whenever I did watch her, even before AEW. But she looked a lot better in the ring here, but still not quite like a full-on match that I was kind of hoping that we maybe would get. But I still didn't hate this whatsoever, but I could see a lot of people just being like, oh, it wasn't Athena, it wasn't Ember Moon. Oh, well, then, like, you kind of, you set yourself up for, you could, again, when you just announced
the whole show is branded, like, Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're expecting something kind of
bigger.
Big. This is someone who has wrestled in AEW before, is a comedy act.
Yeah.
And same with John Morrison, just both disappointing, I think.
Jokers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Jared Leto. Disappointing Joker.
Yeah, this is true.
That's what we got tonight.
Two Jared Letos, yeah.
I mean, he was in two different movies playing the Joker. I think he was in a few. He's in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad and Justice League Snyder, right?
There you go.
Yeah, good for him.
We get Tony Schiavone. He's definitely not a Joker. He's in the ring. And, oh, I didn't mention Tony Storm coming out.
Yeah, just for a stare down. So that's probably the final.
Yeah. And was it someone in one of our chats who let me know that Tony Storm's theme is clearly a rip of Barracuda by Heart?
Okay.
And then when you listen to it, it's legit almost the exact same song. Ooh, Barracuda. Great song.
So, it's Britt versus Tony next week in the semi.
Right. Sweet.
And then you've got Ruby against the winner of... Red Velvet's against Statlander in first round now. Right. So winner of Ruby and whoever wins out of that match.
I would think Ruby versus Red and Ruby goes over.
Yeah. So what, Ruby Britt final
or
a Tony Ruby final?
Tony Ruby.
Tony Ruby?
Tony Britt probably is what they would
do. No, Tony Britt next week.
Sorry, Britt.
Britt Ruby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Grand Slam rematch.
Exactly. Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He says next week is going to be the 3-year anniversary of AEW, which I'm like, wait, didn't they start in like September or something?
No, that was Dynamite, but AEW started with Double or Nothing.
Right,
so it's 3-year anniversary, Double or Nothing.
He starts to cry. he's crying. He's like, I love this company.
Yeah.
Greatest day in our sport. When he's interrupted by Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb comes out. She's like, Tony, I'm so tired of hearing you.
Tony must be an asshole backstage. He comes across as the nicest guy, but no one likes him.
All the heels don't like him. So, I mean, the heels just don't like him. That's fine. If you had baby
cut
faces.
Cut your shit.
Cut the shit, Tony. Deeb comes out, and she's like, Tony, I'm tired of hearing you. No one wants to hear you. You're just an old man. Get out of here. And then she says, I need to bring out someone else. I need to bring out Dustin Rhodes. And we're all like, huh? And she says, Dustin said something that pissed me off, and Dustin's coming out, and she's then yelling at the crowds. What did she say to the crowd? Hey, shut up, Texas. All your sports teams are failures.
It's, I mean, we make fun of this in promo, like in WWE promos. It's always, and your teams suck. And she literally wasn't even smart about it. It was just like, your teams are sports.
Can't even name
teams
the sports
bad.
Team. There's an old episode of Family Guy when Peter takes Cleveland to a pro wrestling match, and it's supposed to be Macho Man Randy Savage, like, in the ring, cutting a promo, and Macho Man, in the Family Guy joke clip, says, I must be in Quahog. Where are they from?
Quahog, yeah.
Because, you know, all I see is a bunch of losers, and your sports teams suck. It's literally what she said here. I'm like, you didn't even insert sports team. You didn't even bother to copy
it. I mean, you had that time where Owens did that line about, and you don't even have a basketball team anymore.
Right.
That kind of thing, which got like nuclear.
Exactly.
You can be smart about it. You can insult the locals team. But this just felt like, okay, I've got my checklist here. I'm a bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt Tony. Call him a piece of shit. I'm going to insult the sports teams and
make fun of Goldust.
Yeah, and call out Goldust. And say he doesn't have any balls. Like, it was so paint by numbers.
So Dustin comes out and she's like, I respected you, but you've said some things about me. You said I won't beat Thunder Rosa for the title, and like, I want you to change your mind. Don't you know what I've been through? I've been through everything. Then Deeb mentions that she got breast implants to
satisfy old perverts
in the business. She says she even shaved her head to show how much I wanted it, and I still got no respect. So why did you say I couldn't beat Thunder Rosa? Huh? Why did you say that? Thunder Rosa eventually comes out. There's a bit of a brawl, and Dustin ends up getting hit. Thunder Rosa ends up getting an elbow, and Deeb walks off, like, kind of smiling, and steals the title, actually.
Yeah, I thought this was awful.
And you love Deeb.
I think Deeb's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
I think this match could be really good. I think it reminded me of, hey, keep Team Taz out of your mouth. I'm like, wait, sorry, why are we feuding with Goldust right now? So what, Dustin trained Rosa?
Yeah.
Is that's Texas, the connection there? Yeah. And they're getting Dustin out in front of Texas. Sure. I thought some of the content was good, like the stuff about all the stuff she had to do to try and fit in and please people, whereas now she realizes she's just earned this because she's the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah,
like that stuff, the content was good, but she just sounded awful.
It didn't hit for me. I love Deeb. I think the wrestling is amazing. Her wrestling is great. I like the character she's kind of evolved into. I actually like the fact that she's coming out and saying some shit and calling out whatever. It's fine. I think using these lines in this sort of way was kind of cheap.
She sounded drunk. You know, it sounded like just a drunk rambling of...
And another thing, I hate when...
Where the fuck's Dustin Rhodes? Yeah. Like, come out here. I hate you as well. I feel like it's maybe just both these women aren't good at promos. So they're, how do we further the feud without just having backstage attacks?
Yeah.
And that's why you've incorporated like Tony and... Dustin here. This didn't work for me at all. I'm still pumped for the match, but I thought this was a bad, awkward, cringy moment of TV for me.
It also felt like it was going on for way too long.
Yeah.
It felt like it was going on forever.
And you know, you've got a main event still to come.
She should have just invited Dustin out. He should have came out right away. She should have said what she needed to say, slap him, Thunder comes out, and she runs away.
Yeah.
Instead, we got this when there's 8 minutes left of the show and they're going to go to their main event, which was like a teased big match of this show that gets cut for time because Deeb had to talk about old perverts in WWE.
I mean, the story does need time. It's yeah, one of your top titles.
For sure.
But I just didn't like the execution.
Yeah. Clearly, she's talking about her time in WWE.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%. Like, she could... I think both her and Rosa could do with a mouthpiece of some sort.
Yeah, true.
You know, maybe have Dustin... If Dustin over the weeks had actually been kind of a bit more vocal on TV with Thunder Rosa, like, cool. But yeah, it was odd.
Dustin. He could join the Dark Order. Be Seven.
Yeah, that was that his... character
in WCW.
yeah
Seven.
I think they might have reserved that for him.
There you go. We go to our main event, Jeff Hardy versus Adam Cole in the Owen Hart tournament, and Jeff Hardy makes his entrance. He throws him up. We learned that he calls this something.
It's duking.
Duking is when you do the Jeff Hardy dance. Yeah, does it mean like dukes up, like guns, finger guns?
He was talking on on AEW Unrestricted,
yeah,
and was saying like, oh, I was so nervous for my debut because I'm like, how do I duke? Like, I got to save my brother Matt. He's getting beat down, but I've got to do the duking
for the crowd
debut. So it's the first time I've ever duked on the run.
Because everyone makes fun of that.
Yeah,
that one where he's like running, like, oh, hey, I gotta save Matt. It's my favorite. It's my most used GIF ever.
Yeah.
We went out last night after Dynamite, and we went to a karaoke, and me and you were just doing the Jeff Hardy to people singing. There's a few people at the – there was a couple at the bar. We got our bartender, who also is a wrestling fan. Shout out, John. We were doing the Jeff Hardy, so then he started doing it, and then he started doing other wrestling poses, and the rest of the people at the bar were like, what the fuck are these guys? We were like trying to one-up each other with funny wrestling poses. So, you know, I'm doing Hulk Hogan, I'm doing John Cena, he's doing The Rock, and we're doing all sorts of things. But there was like a few people at the bar who were like, what the fuck are these guys on? What are they doing? Especially the Jeff Hardy. Like, you don't know what the fuck that is. Just duking. I instruct any of you listeners today and tomorrow, just this week, at one point, do a random Jeff Hardy duke. The Jeff Hardy pose. You're getting your mail, do the duke.
I think showing up to work, especially showing up late, just duke on the way in.
Jeff Hardy is duking in his entrance here, but he's attacked by Adam Cole during the entrance.
He's like, guys, we got to take this home.
TK's like,
I'll let you duke, but we got to start this match.
So the match starts pretty quick here. Adam Cole is in the attack mode, just putting the boots to Jeff Hardy. Eventually, Jeff comes back. He hits his side Russian leg sweep.
Oh.
Definitely one of the best side Russian leg sweeps. But it's not enough to keep Cole down. He starts beating down on Jeff again, and he starts toying with him. He's like running the clock. He's like, look, you're beat up from last week. I know that. Like, I don't have to try. Jeff hits him with a gourd buster and then goes for the whisper in the wind, but gets super kicked when he's in midair. There's then the twist of fate into the stunner, and then the inverted twist of fate, which is like the neckbreaker version of the twist of fate, like the video games, which is pretty cool. He goes up top for the swanton, but Cole gets out of the way. He hits the flying knee, drops the boom, and Adam Cole pins Jeff Hardy in light work, really. Like, Jeff got some offense in, but...
I'm sure there was a longer match scheduled here where Jeff would have got some more in. Although it does kind of make sense with story, considering everything Jeff went through last week,
that
the match would be pretty quick.
Yeah.
A bit disappointing. I think on paper, Jeff Hardy, Adam Cole sounds really good. It was just a bit shortchanged here.
Yeah, I think we need less Matt Sydal telling me he's wrestling on Rampage, less Deeb talking about her boob implants.
Yeah.
More structured show needs to, like, you there's reports out there of AEW's been frantic and chaotic backstage. You don't know unless you're there. I'm sorry. I don't hear someone, a wrestler who's on Dark, telling their journalist friends who cover wrestling, it's chaotic. Right? No, if you're there, you know it is. But as fans watching this seems chaotic.
It was a chaotic show. Yeah.
Like what's going on? Why can't we have this match that you've been advertising? That is a huge match. And they wrestled for like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
No, this should have gotten 20 minutes and been a huge thing. There is an angle also afterwards that they had to fit in time for because it's AEW. But Adam Cole does beat Jeff Hardy. Does make sense for the story. But Hardy boys are out there with Cole, and the Bucks come out and they're putting the BTE trigger to Matt. They're beating up Jeff. Darby and Sting come out. And when I mean they come out, Darby rushes the ring and starts attacking these guys. And Sting is just doing the Sting
walk. I love how Sting doesn't have to run. No. He's just like, I'll get to the fight when I'm there. Sting.
You'll know when I get in the ring to fight you guys. He's like Michael Myers. Yeah. He doesn't need to run to get you. He just walks. It's better. So Sting comes in. There's a whole fight breaking out. Red Dragon are out there. They hit the high low on Darby Allin.
On the stage.
Killing him here. This was like total elimination style on Darby here. Sting now is outnumbered. He's trying to beat these guys up. There's a hilarious bit where Sting is with Kyle O'Reilly and just hits him with the chair.
So Kyle does the chair shot to the back, which Sting no sells, grabs it off of him and just throws it in his face.
In his head.
And Kyle is always good at doing like the comedy.
Like the wonky sell, legs. So he hits that, but eventually the Bucks hit him with a double super kick. And this is when they all beat down on Sting. They grab a chair, wrap it around Sting's ankle, and do the flying knee off the top from Kyle. Therefore, Sting is hurt.
Yeah, surely out for at least a week.
Something like that.
I mean, it's Sting. He
no-sells the chair shots, but he can't no-sell the shot to the knee or the leg.
I did like the kind of nostalgia of hearing Tony just be like,
we're out of time.
And I actually liked that kind of frantic ending, like ending with this big brawl kind of thing. Would have just liked a bit more of the match. But overall, like a chaotic show, but a really enjoyable show. I think considering was felt let down over the Jokers, I think other times that could like really drag the show down, but the wrestling was there tonight. So I didn't feel disappointed overall.
I didn't feel shortchanged simply because two matches tonight were TV matches of the year kind of caliber. So yeah, I wasn't mad at all. If those two matches didn't deliver, I would have been like, oh, this show kind of blew, but
yeah. Agreed.
It didn't. It felt like a fun show as well. Like, yeah, it was a lot. There was packed stuff, and it never stopped. Like, poor Excalibur having to tell me what's going on Rampage at a new time this week.
He didn't even get the graphics.
No, he didn't even get the graphics. Good, because it's too much sometimes. It definitely felt like rushed at the end, which they need to, I think, sort out. I think you need to realize that Matt Sydal doesn't need to remind us to watch Rampage on Fridays.
Like, you can put stuff – you're hyping up a match on Friday, you can put that out on your Twitter, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you know you're running out of time, like tonight.
Yeah.
Just call, like, on the fly. Sorry, Matt Sydal, but we'll post that on Twitter right after.
Yeah, stuff like that you need to cut out. Like, it needs to, or do what they do on Rampage. Whenever I do watch Rampage, like, actually, it is a pretty good show. They cut entrances. They get right to, the meat of the stuff. Yeah. Sometimes you need to do that, like... Sorry, not everyone needs their entrance.
Yeah, it's true.
The live audience gets it. Like, do it during picture-in-picture and stuff like that. But you need to make things flow a lot better. That has been a gripe with AEW Dynamite for quite a while. But tonight it was, even, you know, all these reports. Oh, the show is so chaotic, apparently, backstage. Like, watching this, it felt like that.
You can see it.
Yeah. But still, I absolutely loved this show. Were there things I didn't really like? Yeah. But there were things I absolutely loved. I watch pro wrestling because I like the wrestling. The in-ring stuff is what keeps me glued to my TV, and they did that tonight with these two matches. Takeshita, that guy is amazing. I can't wait to see what happens with him here in AEW and the DDT joint promotion stuff that they might do, but he was a breakout star in this match with Hangman tonight. And then Rey Fénix and Kyle O'Reilly was just a dream match that delivered for me. I can't wait to re-watch that back this week. But yeah, top show.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to next week. Really looking forward to Double or Nothing.
And Double or Nothing should be stacked, so I can't wait for that as well with all those things. And we don't know some of the stipulations for some of these matches, but triple threat tag, the crazy 5-on-5, there'll be some chaos at Double or Nothing. Guys, thanks so much for listening to us talk all about Dynamite. We will be back next week. We'll probably do the same thing next week, maybe. Yeah, I'm off Thursday because Thursday night in Toronto, there's Demand Lucha. So I am going to that show. So, I mean, maybe we'll do something on the Thursday as well.
Sounds good.
twitch.tv/upnextpodcast is where you can find us. Tuesday nights, we go live for Up Next, chatting about 2.0. And then, we'll be back next week, Thursday at 2 p.m. to do this show as well. But you want to hear all the other shows, of course, patreon.com/upnext. $5 is all it costs to get almost 500 podcasts at your fingertips. All the NXT reviews, retro pay-per-view reviews. Get your feedback in for What do we have next week?
Fully Loaded 2000.
Yeah, in honor of Double or Nothing, you've picked Fully Loaded 2000, which is casino Vegas themed. Yeah.
It's a loose link. I just really wanted to.
You just really wanted to talk about show. Triple H yeah. in 2000. Yeah. So get your feedback in for some 2000 WWF is what we'll be chatting about. But so many other podcasts, the Slamboree 1997, the Was Next, Retro NXT Reviews. All the stuff is out there on the Patreon, and we would love for you to check it out and support us here at the BDE. And that's it. That's all. Join the Facebook group. Join the page, the Twitter, all that stuff. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter, and I am on Instagram. I'm at TheBrayD.
And I am at Davey Portman.
Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And shout out Rex from Toy Story.
Ahoy!